Welcome to the Fourth Trimester Training Podcast. I'm Lindsay Newman, and I'm here to revolutionize the way we approach postpartum care. We're challenging the status quo and redefining what it means to thrive after childbirth. Join me as we dive into functional health, optimal nutrition, lifestyle, and corrective exercise, specifically for moms to feel their most athletic no matter their age. Whether you're weeks postpartum or years down the line, this is your go-to resource for reclaiming your strength, energy, and confidence. Today, I have someone so special with me, and I'm so excited for her to just come and share all of her expertise because she is a wealth of knowledge. Kristen DeAngelis is a functional fertility specialist. She's been working with clients for a really long time and has her own amazing stories to share as well. So Kristen, I don't even want to chat longer than I need to and introduce you. I just want you to take the floor and tell us about your story and kind of maybe what led you into the world of functional health so that our audience can get an idea of who you are and what you're all about.
Well, I first off so appreciate having me on and speaking on this very, very important topic. I'm super passionate about the space of fertility, trying to conceive, and all of what that entails. My personal story started with just getting my hormones balanced and trying to get my cycle back. But if someone's listening and, you know, you've been trying for a while, or you just came off birth control, or you're starting to go into IVF, I mean, this really applies in all scenarios, the conversation of trying to conceive. My personal story, just kind of getting into the functional realm. So I am traditionally trained as a registered dietitian, but even prior to that, right, as I was going through college and during that time, obviously have a lot of change, experienced an eating disorder, overtraining, perfectionism tendencies, and throughout that time had a lot of really severe gut issues, high anxiety. And at the time I was on birth control, came off birth control. I was on birth control for several years and didn't get a period back. Now, of course, right? Overtraining, under eating. Then the things that no one tells you about with birth control, right? Well, I was getting a bleed, but I wasn't actually cycling. No one ever taught me about, you know, what happens in a menstrual cycle. And birth control was really just suppressing my hormones. It's a synthetic hormone that you're given, and it's the removal of synthetic hormones that allows a bleed to happen. And so when I didn't get that bleed back, which today we know that's, I like to call it like our monthly report card, I just went, you know, initially to my primary care and then a few follow-up specialists. And they said, you know what? The answer was just, let's put you on birth control again if you want to get your period. I'm like, well, that's not really my answer. But again, I was going through college at the time. Post-college, still wasn't getting my cycle back. I went on for 7 years without a period up until the point that now I'm wanting to start family planning. I'm about to get married and I'm saying, I need to get serious about this. I went to top endocrinologists and specialists in Boston, Cincinnati, Chicago, acupuncturists, you know, doing all the things. And at the time, I'm also a dietitian having my own private practice. And so I'm helping, you know, other people heal in their own space. And all that being said, I saw that there was a gap. There was a gap in the conventional care that I was receiving. And I saw, honestly, that there was also a gap in what I felt I could help my clients in my own private practice. So fast forward, I ended up meeting Vince Pitsick, who's the owner of, at the time, Nutrition Dynamic, now Vital. And I said, oh, you do functional medicine, functional work. I think I want to learn about what you do. Kid you not, 3 months into the protocol and process, and I got my cycle back and period back after 7 years of no answers. And again, a lot of those other symptoms that were coming along with. And mind you, it wasn't just those processes and protocols. It was also the mindset and integration that I have in mind-body. I always laugh and say, like, I was in a yin yoga class when I actually got my period back for the first time. And that's an important cornerstone because I was embracing the parasympathetic and the feminine energy. And that's a big thing that I try to integrate into the way that I coach my clients today. I can give you all, you know, the supplement recommendations and the nutrition pieces, but if we're not doing the other piece of work, of the deeper inner work, and that can be yoga or that can be a spiritual practice or like whatever you want, but there needs to be deeper introspection when we're trying to really work on our hormones and really full body health, right? Gut health, autoimmune, whatever that lens is. So
that's
how I got my cycle back. That's how I got into the functional medicine world. And 8 years forward, I'm the director of health coaching at Vital. And I still work with clients one-on-one. I now have a fertility course out and support our coaches and our team over at Vital. So
incredible, incredible. You covered a lot of ground there, and you mentioned being a registered dietitian and that being the first part of your education and background. I've seen a lot of registered dietitians who kind of segue over into the functional world as well.
Yeah.
And I would love to hear just a little bit for you personally, like what was missing there for you in your education? And while you were struggling to get your cycle back, trying to focus on your own health. I mean, I think a lot of us have been there where we're coaching and we've also got like big things going on behind the scenes in our own bodies and our own lives. Did you struggle at all with like imposter syndrome as an RD? Did you feel like there was something really missing and that's what kind of led you over this way?
Yeah. I mean, the dietetics world, you have to go through extensive training and education, right? I was in undergraduate for 5 years, and then you go through a dietetic internship. It's very, very competitive, right? So I'm in school for, granted, you know, 6 years. You learn a lot, but there's also a lot of things that aren't dove into deeper. And the functional space is really about how are we connecting all the dots and going a step further? How are we looking at laboratory and supplementation? I mean, I feel, and again, we are in this space of constant learning. I will forever be a student. But as a dietitian, I didn't go through understanding the details and specifics of supplementation or more integrative types of lab testing and how to interpret and utilize those testings, right? And so it's things of that nature, but it's also the deeper dive of looking at how gut microbiome, autoimmune, immune health, hormones, how everything is integrated and how to tie that into a system. And that's what I find the functional world lends to. And then there's great functional practitioners. And then there's ones that it's like, feels a little bit gimmicky, or am I actually having a process and am I having attention to detail? And so I will say, I will toot our own horns at Vital that we definitely go that deep dive. And that's where I think things were missing a little bit in my own personal dietetic experience.
Yeah, exactly. I talk about that with clients all of the time, is that you need to be careful when you're working with functional specialists that it doesn't look like our current healthcare system in disguise, where we are only isolating systems of the body, or we're just focused on hormones. Let's balance your hormones, right? Mm-hmm. Because that was a huge problem for me. And it sounds like for you as well, seeing top endocrinologists all over,
right?
We're just looking at the hormone system and we're forgetting everything else that impacts that system and how we are an interkinetic chain, and the metabolism is a process and it's not isolated to one system or another, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. If we only have a narrow focus, that's where we're going to get narrow results. And that's why we have people saying, well, I'm not diseased and sick, but I don't really feel my optimal self. And our whole goal is, how do we optimize? And in the space of fertility, being told again and again, like, your labs look normal. And then they said into, you know, our virtual office, and I say, there were very minimal labs actually run. We need to do a deeper dive. And then we uncover so much more, right? Of where is the next step that we can address and work with.
Right, right. So not only did you transition from being an RD into the functional space and start working on your own health, but then you did segue into more of a niche and specialization of fertility. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can guess why after 7 years of not having a cycle and trying to get that back. But what is it that just lights you up about fertility as being your focus point? Because honestly, for those of you who aren't familiar with Kristen, she could do anything that she wants. She could focus on gut health as the specialty. She could focus on thyroid. She could focus on, generally speaking, hormones, but fertility is even more specific. And I love that. So can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, for starters, if I'm working on a fertility case, I know that I'm also working with gut, autoimmune.
We're already doing things,
right? Like the clients that are coming in are experiencing also those symptoms, but saying my end goal is a baby. And I've always said from day one, how can I impact and support as many people as possible? And prevention medicine. Fertility is the number one preventative medicine because we are literally building the genetic code for our next generation. Right. And I just want that to sit in here for a second, because when we conceive, let's say someone conceives with a baby girl and they bring that baby girl to term, a baby girl is born with all of her eggs that she'll have. So she's affecting not just our next generation, but our following and future generations. And so the preventative medicine, I think, aspect is just so incredible. Plus, you know, when you have a goal of being able to build a family, right? Help to create what we call like a super baby. How do we have your most optimal thriving, not just get pregnant, but a thriving pregnancy, a wonderful postpartum experience, and really a baby and you as a mother and couple that's thriving in years to come. And there's the foundations of what you're doing 3 months, 6 months, a year, 3 years prior to that point is what will create those really impactful, lasting results. So the science is what excites me, and being able to really like tie everything together, but with obviously this just incredible, you know, I get to see a baby at the end of this.
Right? Yes. The best ever. The best. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So I know this is a really sensitive topic for a lot of women. And obviously we want to be extremely sensitive as functional practitioners. I feel like there's this competing energy between functional and like conventional Western mm-hmm. medicine routes of fertility help and support. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, and I don't want to speak for you, but knowing you, I'm sure you would agree, that's not what we want. Like, we want cohesive energy, not competitive energy. Yeah. There's a time and place for both. Right. And I think that's really important. But can you tell us a little bit about the things maybe that conventional fertility misses? Things like IVF, any type of high-level intervention comes mm-hmm. with a lot of high-level support. But also, what are the gaps that you see there?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many gaps. And for starters, there are some incredible doctors and physicians out, just to be very, very clear. And there's also just a medical system that is not set up for preventative care. It's not set up for, you know, in-depth sessions with your provider. It's not set up to talk to your provider every 2 weeks for 30 minutes with questions between sessions and a meal plan, supplementation, labs. It's usually a standard PDF. We'll run a couple of standard labs, but oh, I'm not going to test X, Y, and Z labs that you're requesting. They might not give you an answer as to why, but typically it's because of, you know, insurance or high costs. I just made a post about how I was outraged that I had labs done through my provider, and I run my own labs. And I said, I could have gotten this for a quarter of the price just doing cash pay versus I have a great insurance, but it didn't cover the extra labs that I wanted to request, which was not anything crazy. It was an extra vitamin D and an extra thyroid, you know, panel, right?
Right.
So I think it stems much deeper than just one specific answer, but it's, again, looking at more of a systems-based approach. So again, even just something as labs, if someone comes in and they say, I'm not getting a period, okay, I'm going to just check, you know, estrogen, testosterone, and progesterone, but what about your metabolites of testosterone? PCOS is one of the number one causes of infertility. 12% of women roughly have PCOS. I would argue that's more though. 70% of women go missed or undiagnosed for years. And that's the same thing with endometriosis. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of like 10 to 20 years before someone will get diagnosed. But that's because there's nuances and it doesn't all look the same for any one person. And so that's why doing more comprehensive testing, but also really getting fine-tuned about, tell me about your timeline, all of your symptoms, it's personalized medicine. And so that's really what I find is the difference in the functional space. But again, depends on the type of practitioner that you're working with. Am I working with someone I see this a lot where, you know, working with a naturopath, great, you know, outlook and things that they're recommending, but I only talk to them once every 3 months, right? I'm missing looking at how is your body responding? What's the biofeedback that it's getting? And then how am I making adjustments in real time versus just try this? This happened to me. It was like, you know, try Vitex Chaseberry, gain a little bit of weight, you know, go to this acupuncture session. That was my recommendations and protocol. That wasn't the full scope of what I needed. Not that any of those things are bad. They're all great. But I think we're missing pulling it all together. When do I start X, Y, and Z? When do I start an herb? Or when do I start taking a probiotic? Otherwise, we just are throwing things at a wall without saying, like, this is the deductive process. Because it can be really overwhelming when we say testing. And there's 10 different, you know, home test kits and things that we can do. But where do I start? And I find that in a conventional medical model, there are a lot of things that are missed. There are a lot of things that are never honestly presented. And it's always my goal to say, here's all the options. Here's where I would recommend to start. But let's have a conversation about where you land and what do you want to ask questions around that we can kind of talk through.
Right. Oh, gosh, you said so many great things, because I remember specifically working with a functional nurse practitioner after I had kind of gone the traditional Western medicine route, endocrinologists, like my OB, all of those things, trying to diagnose my PCOS. And you mentioned PCOS looking different for a lot of people. And it wasn't until I kind of entered into the functional space in my own education that I realized PCOS was more of an umbrella term for a lot of different subtypes of PCOS, and it is going to look different for everyone. And what was frustrating, even working with a functional nurse practitioner who kind of ran her practice more in the traditional model, was that I would see her again, once every 3, maybe 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I remember she put me on some progesterone because mine was very, very, very low, but there wasn't a ton of talk about nutrition or lifestyle or the changes that actually needed to be made to turn off the faucet. So I always tell my clients, if we're trying to mop up the bathroom floor while the bathtub is overflowing, we might see a little bit of progress, but it's not going to be effective long-term. And that was the case for me. And so I started using that progesterone and definitely noticed some improvements and some progress. But ultimately, I was like, something's still really off here. And I don't know what to do about it's my progesterone, obviously. Like, how do I switch the dosage? And she, I didn't get to see her for another 3 months. And so when I emailed her office, it was like, well, just play around with the dosage, maybe increase it a little bit. And if that doesn't feel right, then lower it down. And I kind of felt left to my own devices.
Yeah.
But you mentioned a lot of hormones that actually go missed and overlooked. And for me, what I was noticing was it actually was less my progesterone that was the problem and the tweaking and dosing of that cream, and more metabolite hormones and other things like androgens and hormones that she never mentioned to me, nor was she testing. We didn't run like a comprehensive Dutch test. So I kind of want to segue into lab work, because I feel like even functional practitioners, sometimes you said, they're great practitioners. And then just like in any industry, there are maybe some that are a little subpar, same as anywhere else. But can you talk a little to lab work and how you run that versus what we see in conventional models? Mm-hmm. Because I do feel, and I know you and I have talked about this a lot, but in working with clients who are going through the IVF process, something that has really, really jarred me is asking them, hey, do you mind if I look at your lab work that you've been having run? And being a little shocked at how sparse it was and how minimal lab tests were being run with such an expensive, high-level process.
Yep.
It felt very superficial as far as what information they were accruing about the body.
Yeah.
Can you speak on that?
Yeah, I feel like I unfortunately hear this story again and again and again. And I think the only way to change is sometimes getting angry and fired up so we can talk about these conversations. I would say when a client comes in, and I want to circle back real quick about the low progesterone, we need to be asking the question why, right? So of the labs that we get back, rather than just saying like, this is what we're going to, you know, we're going to put on some progesterone, which I agree with. We need to make sure that progesterone is robust. But why is it low to begin with? Well, in PCOS, are you ovulating? If you're not ovulating, if you're not getting that robust LH surge, then you're not pushing that egg through the ovarian wall. You're not having that release, and then therefore the rise of progesterone. So I want to understand, what's the quality of the corpus luteum? What's the quality of the cell membrane? What's the messaging signaling coming from the brain? And so that's where I try to discern when a client is coming in, what labs have they already have done? What are their symptoms, and what's going to be the first step? So the first step I typically like to go with is just either some basic blood work and or a Dutch test. So I just real quickly wanted to speak on the Dutch test. The Dutch, you've not heard of already, I'm sure Lindsay, you talk about it all the time, but dried urine comprehensive hormone testing, that is a home collection kit. And it measures a few things. I tend to see people that are dealing with fertility issues, cycle regularity. There's a brain connection. Remember, hormones are just messengers, and they are sent from the hypothalamus and pituitary, that's sent to the ovaries, or for men to the testes, or to not just sex hormones, but other areas of your body, thyroid hormone, for example. And so what the Dutch looks at is it's looking at what is our cortisol circadian rhythm looking like throughout the day, not just one point in time. If you do a cortisol on blood work, you're looking at it at that one point in time, whereas the Dutch is doing a 24-hour collection, and it's looking at points throughout the day to figure out when are you high, when are you low, but also not just cortisol, but your free and inactive forms of cortisol and cortisone. It's looking at additionally some extra markers, our organic acids, to assess B vitamins, glutathione, oxidative stress, 8-OHDG, very helpful to look at fertility, melatonin, master antioxidant, not just important for sleep, but important for egg quality. And then also when it comes to hormones. So whenever we check on blood work and we're looking at, again, you've probably just heard of testosterone, progesterone, and estrogen. We actually have multiple metabolites. So estrogen alone goes through these different pathways, and then how is it going through phase one, phase two, and phase three of estrogen detoxification? So we can then identify what's your total estrogen, but also what is your E1, E2, and E3 look like. Phase one and then phase two. If phase two, which is looking at methylation, is on the lower end, we might then want to look further at what's your B status. What is, maybe we want to look at genetics to identify, are there some markers and variants, and we need further methylation support. Methylation is a ubiquitous process in the body that involves helping really with DNA synthesis repair, and we need quality DNA for fetal programming when it comes to the conception period. But we also need it for other things like mood, detoxification, energy, metabolic functions, and all of that. So that's kind of the estrogen side, but the androgen side. And you mentioned PCOS. This is a big one that I find can be hugely missed, because maybe we just look at testosterone in blood work and it looks quote unquote normal. It's within the bar range, maybe a little bit on the higher end. We always want to be thinking about hormones as a three-legged stool: testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone. We don't want one any higher or lower than the other. And we want to ideally look at it. I like looking at it in the luteal phase. Ideally, when progesterone should be at the peak, that's when we test utilizing the Dutch. And so I've caught several times testosterone, but the metabolites of testosterone, and looking at 5-alpha-DHT, which is 5 to 8 times stronger than testosterone. And we can see that on the Dutch test. So if someone is more favoring a 5-alpha pathway, even if their testosterone looks normal, but we're very high 5-alpha preference, and maybe we also see high and elevated DHEA compared to lower end progesterone, lower end estrogen, and are they having any of the other symptoms of PCOS? Again, I cannot diagnose, but I can say, well, you check off X, Y, and Z symptoms and what we're seeing on the labs. And so I've found that several times and say, hey, I want you to go back to your doctor and do XYZ follow-up. And they're like, yeah, I guess it has been PCOS all along. And I had no idea, even though I have done testing of testosterone, but I didn't go that step further. So Dutch testing, I'm a huge, huge fan of. And then blood work, right? I can't emphasize enough just going the step further Thyroid is a big one, right? Not just getting TSH and T4, getting your T3, looking at antibodies for someone who's having, you know, recurrent miscarriage. If you've had two or more miscarriage, look into your thyroid antibodies and also look into other inflammatory markers, things like hsCRP, ANA, vitamin D, whether autoimmune or not, everyone should be getting a vitamin D done. And then some of our other baselines. So CBC, CMP, looking at iron, looking at your insulin and blood sugar markers. So insulin and then glucose would be on your CMP. So again, getting that full picture. And then there's other add-ons that I might want to look at too, things like zinc or L-carnitine or omega-3 status. But just getting some base blood work as far as what are your hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, thyroid, vitamin D, the DHEA, and then AMH comes a lot in the fertility conversation. It's not the like number one marker, I have to get AMH, but it can give us an indication about, you know, how many eggs do you have? Are you having a lot or very, very low and little? But then we want to look at the quality of eggs, and that's what AMH does not test for. So
Right. Yeah, a lot of lab work, a lot of lingo there. So I just want to recap for people who are maybe like, whoa, that was like really over my head.
Sorry, I probably just like threw it all out.
But no, I think it's really important. But coming from like a very like layman's perspective, when I was going through a lot of my struggles, the difference between that point in time and then once I started to be educated on all of these things was, here's what I hadn't realized. And you just said all of this, but to sum it up, you have different estrogen types. Yep. We oftentimes just look at estradiol, but we're missing other estrogen types, and that can be really important and indicative of other connections through the metabolism and how your estrogen, it's not just a number. Progesterone, it's not just a number. Are we within range? Testosterone, it is relationship. And I love how you said that three-legged stool, right? It's a balance between hormones and relationships that are really important. And that's something that I found really surprising and something that was really overlooked as far as using conventional medicine was when I would get lab work done, it was like, well, you're within range, so you're fine. And we hear this all the time. Mm-hmm. And we might be within range, but also the relationships between hormones might be very wonky, and that makes you feel some type of way, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's really challenging. Not to mention if testosterone is low, and so the solution is, well, let's give you testosterone pellets or put you on testosterone. Mm-hmm. If you have somebody like myself who maybe is more androgenic, which is a hormone that a lot of people don't hear about very often, and we start giving more testosterone, those PCOS symptoms are going to be exacerbated by a million, right? Mm-hmm. So that was another thing that I was really surprised by was metabolites. And you've mentioned that word a couple of times. And the way that I explain this very, very basically is that these are little breakoff hormones, like little baby hormones that come through the funnel of other more well-known or talked about hormones, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. And so that was really surprising that we had hormones that were created from other hormones and that those weren't part of the conversation either, mm-hmm. that this was a constant moving, flowing stream of action, not just a, are we within range type of a thing.
Completely.
And lastly, I would say to reiterate, you mentioned basic blood work a couple of times. And from a functional perspective, basic blood work is a lot more comprehensive than your OBGYN's office or your yearly blood work that you're getting done at your doctor's office.
Yeah.
Because that is basic, right? Like we're not looking at hormones when we get that yearly blood work done. We're not even as women checking in or men on that just general range of like, where is my estrogen? Where is my progesterone at? Which to me is shocking. And we're not looking at thyroid at all. Like those are specialty panels. Those are, you have to have great reason and great cause to run those labs. And that's really, really a missed opportunity in the preventative care world. So talking to like basic hormones, these should be basic, right?
Absolutely. And it's back to optimization too, in that everyone's optimal is also going to look a little bit different. So even right. if you're within normal, but are you having symptoms? So I always say, like, you have to take it into context, right? Your labs, is this consistent with what we're seeing symptomatology-wise? And then you pair it up. Is this something that we're going to do something about this lab, or does this make sense, right?
Right. And optimization is such an important word because I feel like it gives you your power back. And there are so many people, myself included, who sometimes will get lab work back and just feel really frustrated, like, oh, this is what it is. This is my body. There's not much I can do about this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the huge gap lies, actually, is being conditioned in the Western medical world. It is very reactive. It's like, well, these are the numbers. This is what we have to do, rather than this proactive, like, I actually have so much more control over my metabolism than I realize, and I can optimize these labs. I can change the expression of my genes, essentially. I can't change my genetics, but I can change their expression by implementing a lot of support.
Yeah. Yeah. Genetics is a big thing that I hear that a lot, where people are nervous to take their, you know, to do a genetic test. And I always say it's the most empowering thing because your genes don't change. You have them for life. It's more about the environment that's going to pull the trigger to have that gene turned on or off, to be expressed or not. And that's the study of nutrigenomics. I'm not going to test something that I can't influence and change, right? So let's test something that you have power over, right? Yeah.
Well said.
Impactful.
Yes, so well said. And that's going to change the expression of your hormones or your thyroid or your gut or all of those things. So I love that. I'm not going to test something that we can't optimize or influence. Yeah, really, really well said. So obviously, like, in talking through all of this, I think a lot of us can feel really overwhelmed that this is really complex and really complicated stuff, right? And we do sometimes, I feel, overcomplicate the metabolism. And we can get really far off in the weeds when we're missing, like, metabolism 101, lifestyle pieces of water, whole foods, stress management, walking, sleep, those sorts of things. And also, we can really oversimplify this as well. Mm-hmm. And this is something I want you to talk about a little bit, because you see both ends of the spectrum on social media, and social media is not good at shining light on the honest gray area that is the middle and balance. So you'll see one camp that says, you know, if anyone's talking about cortisol, they're just trying to sell you something. Or if they're talking about your hormones and balancing hormones, that's not a thing. Mm-hmm. And then you will hear from the other camp that's like promoting all of those things as the solution, right? Like fixing your cortisol is the solution, or just fixing your nervous system, but not really optimizing nutrition and lifestyle. So it's nuanced, and I think we can overcomplicate and oversimplify this. What are your thoughts?
I see it all the time too, especially when clients come in and they're overwhelmed, they're frustrated because we're just hit with a million different. And the thing is there's not any, you know, keto, carnivore, only carbohydrates, like, what one is the right way to do? And it's because there's a time and a place for everything. And that's why, again, I think working with a practitioner that's able to understand the science. So I just threw out a lot of, like, science terms. I was talking about metabolites. I was talking about more comprehensive labs. You need to be able to work with someone who understands all that, but can break it down in the most simplest terms. And at the end of the day, the quote unquote protocol, honestly, the simple pieces are the rocks. They are the dial movers. They are the big things that are going to move things forward, which is, how are you sleeping? What's the bookends of your day look like? What's your blue light and how are you waking up in the morning? Are you eating enough throughout the day? How much water are you drinking? And I know those sound like way too simple and basic, but you would be so shocked about how getting in 2 20-minute walks a day feels impossible for a majority of people when we start working systems. So it's layering those things down first. I can't emphasize that enough. You can work with the best practitioner in the world and they can know all the crazy science, but you will always start with those pieces first. And then you layer on, right? And then it's figuring out, okay, based on my case, what supplementation makes sense for me? I have a lot of people come in on like 30 different supplements And it's, but does this make sense for where you're at right now? Right?
Right.
And so that's where, again, I think we can overcomplicate, but we can also very much oversimplify and just say, oh, well, we're just going to, you know, it's just estrogen detox. No, it's not. We need to look at how's your gut health, because if you're not pooping regularly, and again, let's make sure we're hitting those basics first, then you're not pooping out your estrogen. Like, you have to start in that space first. And I can talk about phase three estrogen metabolism, or I can say, hey, are you pooping regularly?
Right.
Right. So it's being able to talk both languages so that the, you know, we're transitioning science into layman's terms.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Or we can oversimplify, you know, even on a grander scale by just saying, oh, you just need to lose weight and that will improve your chances of fertility. Right.
Right. But why? Right.
And but why?
As a patient, as a client, like, keep asking why. And you can ask why 5 to 10 times because you want to keep going down. But why? But tell me more. I want to understand. Right. In a place of when I understand, then I'm game on. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Gosh, I think it's such a hard place for people to be, because I remember things not going well for me, and I'm sure you can relate to this in your own story as well, and feeling like the opportunity to have another baby after my fourth was kind of taken from me. Like, my hormones are such a mess and my body's just had it and it's done. And I am really pleased that I did continue to ask the question why, but I did feel the oversimplification of what was happening in my body was extremely gaslighting. In big, big ways, you know, watching social media, listening to influencers, you know, where it's like, you just need to eat in a calorie deficit.
Right.
And for me, I was eating, you know, 1200 calories, tracking rigorously. I was puffier than I'd ever been. I was exercising twice a day. I wasn't ovulating. I'm still having a regular cycle. And I think that's something a lot of people think, well, if your cycle's regular, you should be getting pregnant. And you touched on that a little bit, that that's not always the case. And it certainly wasn't for me either. But you start to feel like you're a crazy person a little bit, where when we oversimplify, it's like, what is my problem? Like, why does my body just not want to do the things? And everyone else can get really fit and they can build muscle and they can lose fat and they can get pregnant really easily. And for me, like, none of those pieces are coming together. And then on the other side, definitely we can overcomplicate, like you said, when it's, we're trying a million supplements, we're missing the lifestyle pieces. And that's what I think coaching is so valuable for, is I know I love hearing my clients a year after I've worked with them, 2 years, talking about how their life changed, their lifestyle changed, and those basics are with them for good.
Yeah.
Right? Because you said that those are the rocks.
Absolutely. It's back to what can be sustainable, what is realistic, and that it's also never one thing. Like, everyone, you know, eventually when the person who's been struggling with fertility for several years and they're like, well, what was the one thing that got them pregnant? I always say it's not one thing. It's really like pulling it all together and having this system and way to go about it. And it's also the coaching relationship. And the way that, like, Lindsay, you work with your clients, I know, like, that is such a huge foundation of what we need to establish, this safe space to open up, right? To really explore and go a little bit deeper. It's more than just have this meal plan and take this supplement. It's, let me work through the fears that I have, or the underlying body image issues, or whatever it is, because gut-brain connection and how it's literally all connected along with our nervous system.
Yeah, for sure. So in your helping women with functional fertility, Kristen, what would you say is, or are, the problems that you see most often? Why are women struggling to get pregnant? What would you say? I know it's not a one thing. It's hard to sum up. So if you could give us an idea of a few things that are not going well for people.
Yeah, yeah. Point blank, my immediate number one answer is going to be stress and nervous system dysregulation. I will tell you that right now. Pretty much every single client that I see, there's some aspect, there's something in their timeline or their history. It's how they're living their life. And, you know, I see a lot of type A perfectionist tendencies. And so it's working with, where does that stem from? How do I help you to learn how to regulate, you know, what's coming up through the body from a somatic lens? But then what also am I doing to support maybe the cortisol and circadian rhythm that we kind of talked about? Number one piece. And it's not as simple as, and that's why, again, back to kind of feeling gaslit, just stress less. Just lose weight. Like, it is the most unhelpful advice.
Unhelpful.
Right?
I know. All my clients are like, do I get rid of my kids? Do I like stop working? Like, how do I get rid of my stress? I can't.
Right. And that's the thing. You will not get rid of stress, but what we can do is we can say, how do we open up your capacity? How do we help you learn and roll with the punches and the curveballs that will be part of life, right?
And still feel safe and secure.
Yeah, because safety and security is part of conception, right? Like, if we are in a constant fight or flight state, it's not, I say the analogy, like, if you're running from a bear, it's not a good time to sit down and go to the bathroom, and it's not a good time to make a baby. Like, things stop and hold. And so I would say on that lens, that's another big thing that I see a lot of gut issues, right? Constipation, number one thing, right? And so, is the constipation related to a gut-brain connection? There's probably a connection there. But I would also say thyroid. There's a lot of thyroid conditions that are missed and underdiagnosed, more of like a subclinical hypothyroid state. And so when we see that, constipation is a pretty common symptom, along with maybe, you know, inability to lose weight. I'm not really feeling refreshed upon waking. So that's another big one that I see, gut issues and thyroid issues tied into you know, fertility aspects. And then, of course, you know, PCOS, I already touched on, that's one of the number one drivers, but we have to ask, what's the driver of PCOS? Is it the stress response? Is it insulin resistance and inflammation? Is it a state of, and when I say stress, it's not just stress of I'm working so many hours, it's the stress of overtraining, under eating. We might be eating the healthiest foods, but are you eating enough of them? Are you absorbing your nutrition, right?
Right.
So those are, I would say those are a couple of like the big drivers that I see.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell clients all the time, your psychology becomes your chemistry. Mm. And so it really does start at the brain, how we think, how we respond to stress, our environment, all of those things. And if that's not going well, I loved your analogy. It's not going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. So kind of wrapping this up then, can you just share maybe a few basic things that you would recommend to anyone trying to improve their chances of fertility or their metabolisms, just as a quick takeaway, like go home, start doing these few basic things to help?
Yeah, I think for starters, the first thing is just protect boundaries on your sleep, to be honest. Like, that's a huge aspect that's just going to support, as I already mentioned, your stress and nervous system regulation. It's going to set you up better for the following day, how your appetite, leptin and ghrelin hormones are kind of being impacted. So protect your sleep, number one. Water. Water is the number one nutrient. Can we make sure that we're aiming for closer to 96 to 120 ounces a day? Water is essential. We need that for our follicles, for our egg cells, and really for every area and organ of the body. And I mean, this isn't a, I would say, like, when I say detoxification, supporting detoxification, I mean, we could go as far as saying, like, everyone, I think, can go through some liver support, going through a flush protocol that, Lindsay, I know that you do as well. But some basics of things that you can do to just clean up the toxic overload, because this is hugely impactful for both men and women. And that's, again, keep in mind, it takes two to make a baby. 50% of fertility cases are related to the male, right? And right. So you really need to bring them into this conversation too, get them on board. But just starting to be aware of, you know, can I start to purchase organic for some of our like dirty dozen. So apples, berries, spinach, those are very high in pesticides and herbicides when it's conventional. So a few of those things, can I get organic? By having more filtered water in, that's going to also help flush and mobilize and move through what toxin accumulation we do have. And then maybe even adding in certain liver support, adding in more nutrients that are going to support what we call liver-loving foods, lots of dark leafy greens, lots of, you know, having more fruits and vegetables in general, fiber, right? Fiber is one of the biggest pieces. track for a week and see, are you hitting 35 grams or more of fiber? So those would be, I think, just to kind of like sum it up, protect your sleep, focus on water, get more fiber, fruits and vegetables, and eliminate overall toxic load, whether it's from food, water, be mindful of air supply. And we can go a lot further in that discussion too, as far as liver.
For sure. For sure. Wow. We could probably talk forever about this and male fertility being a whole separate episode of its own. But Kristen, thank you so much. I feel like this is such an important conversation. And I just want to close by saying this is not necessarily, how do we say it? I tell clients often that many doors can lead to the same place. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of different options. And so in no way is this, you know, us saying that IVF and conventional methods of helping you to conceive are wrong or bad. We're so grateful for every opportunity that helps support bringing new life into the world and that helps the mother and grow the family, right? I do 100% believe, to add to that, and I think that you as well kind of mentioned this, that though there's not a right or wrong way, there are things to take into consideration as far as what is going to support the health of myself, the baby, and not just in this moment, but long term. Yeah. And am I educating myself on my body? Do I understand the why? Am I always asking that question? And how is that empowering me lifelong rather than just through this phase of fertility focus?
Yeah. And for those with the IVF kind of question, there is so much research on, by improving your nutrition, it improves IVF outcomes, reduces the number of cycles that you need to go through. So do not diminish the power now. You still have power even when you're going through assisted reproductive technologies.
Right. And putting the two together, functional and the assistance that we get from Western conventional methods, is where people win the most, I would say.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, Kristen, thank you so much. This was fantastic. Kristen is a phenomenal coach. I've worked with her personally. You can find her on Instagram. Kristen, do you want to share how people can connect with you?
Yeah, I would love to connect. I'm, again, on Instagram, KD Wellness, and I'm our director of coaching over at Vital, V-I-D-A-L. I do one-on-one coaching programs, but I also have my new fertility course that is launched. That's for anyone on the path of trying to conceive, whether you've been here for a while or you're just thinking about family planning in the next, you know, few months ahead. So would love to connect further there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Fourth Trimester Training Podcast. If you're ready to take your journey to the next level with personalized support, we offer one-on-one coaching tailored to your unique needs. Whether it's functional health, nutrition, or postpartum corrective exercise, we're here to guide you every step of the way. Connect with me on Instagram at Lynn C. Newman or at Fourth Trimester Training to learn more and schedule your free consultation. Let's work together to achieve your goals and embrace the strongest version of you.